This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home for the last time in 2009. It's Thursday today. It is December 31st. Happy New Year, everyone. Doesn't hardly seem possible that it's going to be 2010 already, and we've already made it through the 2000s. Now we're going to be in the 10s. Is that what we're calling it? I don't know. Anyways, it's been a very short week this week. If you listened last week, you'll know that I actually only worked 2 days last week. My major client had always takes a week off for Christmas, and they had split it up this year because of Christmas falling on a Friday, and so they had us working 2 days. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we were off. And Monday and Tuesday, we were off. And then we worked Wednesday, Thursday. I could get used to this only working 2 days a week, but it sure does hammer the productivity. But I was able to get some good things done. And about the middle of next week, I think everybody will be back and everybody be hopefully back up to speed, because I know there were several people that just took a full 2 weeks off and lands. Take a full 2 weeks off. It takes a little while to get your email dug through and figure out what in the world you're supposed to be doing with your life. So it's going to be interesting. Anyways, this is episode 41. On my notes, I always have to put in big letters, say the episode number, because if I don't, I forget it's episode 41. Doesn't seem hardly possible that as of next week, we'll be within 10 or 11 episodes of 52, which will mean I will have been doing this for a year. Amazing. It's just amazing. Anyways, as far as the no complaint challenge, I actually have been coasting over the holidays, but I got started again today. Yesterday and the day before that, but, well, no, yesterday was good. I don't think there was anything that went yesterday. That's right, so I'm on day two. Woohoo! I was talking to my kids on Tuesday, and we were talking about something, and I stopped and said, and that would be a complaint, so tomorrow is day one. So I am on day two. We'll see. Hopefully, next week I'll be on day nine, because I just need to get with the program and get this thing done. Make the decision, push through, get it done. Anyways, had a fun day on Tuesday. It was the last day before I went back to work on Wednesday for my extremely long work week. But I knew I needed to get in and get some fruit and to make fruit salad for a party we were going to Tuesday night. And so I got in, got the fruit, and as I'm walking through Walmart, I keep my head up, you know, and I smile at people and nod, and I passed a lady and smiled at her and nodded, and I turned to go down an aisle, and she said, have you been on Walk to Emmaus? And I turned around and said, yes, I have. She said, I thought that was you. And so we talked for a while and got caught up on old times and got that all done, and then I thought, oh, I should run by my financial advisor, drop off a check before the end of the year. So I went by there, and his administrative assistant was there, and I was the only one in the office, and we got to chatting, and the conversation got a little deeper, and we had just a really nice little conversation about creating an environment of success for ourselves. And it was fun, because once we started getting into it, she stopped and she looked at me. She said, you know, I was just thinking about this, our topic that we were discussing. I was just thinking about this today. I mean, literally this morning, she said, I can't believe we're talking about this. She said, I was just thinking about this. Because it wasn't necessarily a topic that you would just walk up and talk to somebody about. I mean, it was a very specific topic that was very much in her mind and in what she wanted to talk about, in things she was thinking about. And she said that several times as we were going. She said, this is really God. She said, because I was just thinking about this and I'm going to do this. Okay, great. So gave her a little encouragement. So that was fun. And then we had a really nice party Tuesday night where our neighbors had some friends over and we wandered down. And, you know, it was just fun just sitting around sharing and finding out what everybody was up to and how things were going, yada, yada, yada. So it's been a good week. I am in the final stages of finishing up the layouts on Amanda and the Skleberry Tree, and I need to do a couple of more read-throughs with that, but I may be ready to release that to beta, at least start the beta signups in about 2 weeks. So that'll be cool. Get that one out and then get on to the next project. As far as today goes, back when we were starting to hear the Christmas stories and things before Christmas, I heard someone reading the Christmas story, and as I was listening to it, I thought, that's what I'm going to talk about on New Year's Eve. Definitely. Because it was a story that if you've been in Christianity for any amount of time at all, you have heard the story. But as I listened to it, there was a phrase in the story that just struck me, and I thought, you know, there it is, there it is. If there's anything that I could encourage people to implement, to do in this next year, it's that phrase. The story is the story of the shepherds being visited by the angels. And you know the story. It's in Luke 2. Shepherds, they're out in the fields, they're watching their flocks, minding their own business, and suddenly this angel appears to them. And he says, look, good news! Savior is born this day to you in the city of David. This is going to be a sign. You are going to find the baby wrapped up, swaddling clothes, and he is lying in a manger. And suddenly, there's lots of angels. They're putting on a cantata, you know? And they're saying, glory to God and peace on earth. Goodwill towards men on whom his favor rests. Boom! They're gone. And the angels then look at each other and they say, wow, that was kind of interesting. Have we found that lost sheep yet? It's getting kind of late, so we'll just go ahead and lay down. No! You know, they don't go back to tending their fire. They don't start telling stories about how great that was that they saw that angel. They look at each other and they say, let us go, in essence, let us go and see. And that phrase, go and see, has been rolling around in my head ever since I heard about the shepherds. Again, let us go and see. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good advice for the new year. Because we really have three spheres that we can conduct our lives in. Some people live in the past. Think about what people have done to them in the past. They think about the mistakes they've made in the past. They spend their days reviewing, oh, where did I mess up today? Oh, I should have done something different. Beating themselves up. You know, the flesh really loves it when you do that. That's not to say that when something occurs in the past that was a mistake, that we shouldn't take a look at it and acknowledge our mistake and try to learn from it. That's a good thing. I do fear sometimes, though, that in the process of us quote-unquote learning from our mistakes, all we're doing is just spinning. And what ends up happening is the coming true of the old saying, experience is a wonderful thing. It enables you to recognize your mistakes when you've made them again. So all the analysis that we're doing about the things that we've done in the past, all that analysis is pointless if it doesn't lead to something different in the future. There's a famous saying from a philosopher in the early 1900s, and I've got his name in my notes, but I can't glance down right now. I believe he said, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." I would add a corollary to that. Those who do not act in the present are condemned to repeat the past. Because the things that you do in the past are part of your habitual things that you do. And unless you do something different in the present, you will find yourself just sliding back into those patterns that you have already set in your life, and you'll just end up repeating them. So some people are caught in their past, or full of regret over their past, or can't get past what people have done to them in the past. And because of that, their life is just circling. Some people are really focused on the future. They sit and say, oh yeah, there's a lot of things I gotta change. I know what needs to be different in my life. I can see it. You bet. I mean, you can have them make a list, and they'll make a list of everything that's wrong in their life and everything they need to do different. But if you don't act in the present, all that planning that you're doing for the future, all those things that are on your list, they don't mean anything. Would it surprise you to learn that your flesh loves self-help books? It loves them. When you go past the self-help section, if you feel that, yeah, I really need to get this book and read this, and yeah, because then I could do better in life if I just get the, nothing wrong with self-help books. Okay, nothing wrong with those. There's a lot of really good stuff out there. And frankly, there's a lot of really good stuff by people who aren't Christians. I've talked about people like Wayne Dyer before, and a lot of what he says is really good. And people are paying him thousands of dollars to come to his seminars. So he's certainly talking to a whole lot more people than I am. But you know, you can go to people's seminars, you can pay your money, you can write down all the notes that you want to, and if you get back home and you don't make any changes, it's not going to do you any good. Many years ago, Before I tell you that story, I should also tell you that your flesh loves New Year's resolutions. It loves them. It loves to get you all geared up about, I'm starting a new year, I'm gonna do better, it's gonna be great. And the reason it loves New Year's resolutions is because as soon as you make one, then it can go, yeah, that's right, we should make that. You make a New Year's resolution, and then you start getting into January, and then it starts going, look, shiny, you know. Distracts you, gets you off course, gets you going a different direction, because it knows the secret. I mean, New Year's resolutions kind of reminded me of years and years ago. Mind you, my daughter just turned 27. So this was years and years and years ago. My daughter sucked her thumb for a long time. And I started leaning on her a little bit about that. She probably was, I can't remember for sure, but she had sucked her thumb for long enough that it was time for her to be done. And I tried the bribes, and I tried, you know, the jelly beans, and I tried everything. There's nothing. So it was when my wife and I were dating, and we were going down to Baton Rouge to spend Christmas with her folks. And so I was really kind of leaning on my daughter as we were driving down. Just now, you know, Lizzie, you're a big girl now. It's time for you to stop sucking your thumb. I mean, it's just time, sweetie. You gotta get done with this. And I'm leaning on her pretty hard, you know. I mean, I'm giving her the talking to and stuff. She got tired of me giving her the talking to. So she pulls her thumb out of her mouth. And I can see her in the rearview mirror. And she says, "I'll stop on Christmas." I thought, okay. And I looked at her in the rearview mirror. And I said, "You'll stop on Christmas?" She said, "I'll stop on Christmas." She was just little. I said, "Okay. Okay. So let me see if I understand correctly. You're saying that if I don't bother you anymore about sucking your thumb, you're going to stop on Christmas. I'll stop on Christmas." "Okay, that's fine. So enjoy sucking your thumb. Go ahead." So now we have this future cast thing, you know. It's going to happen over there, you know. It's one of those things. So we get down Baton Rouge. We have a really nice time. Christmas Day, my daughter walks out. She's not sucking her thumb. All Christmas Day, no sucking a thumb. Nothing. She's just fine all Christmas Day. The day after Christmas, boom, goes back in her mouth. And I saw her. I said, "Lizzie," I said, "I thought you said you were going to stop on Christmas." And she looked at me without a beat. And she said, "It's not Christmas anymore." And, you know, I had a really hard time saying anything because it wasn't Christmas anymore. And see, that's exactly the same process that your flesh is going to deal with you on, at, with, in process. That's exactly the same approach your flesh is going to take with you when it comes to New Year's resolutions, when it comes to, "Oh yeah, I really need to get that started." Your flesh is going to sit there and go, "Oh yeah, we'll quit. Yeah, yeah, quit. New Year's, we're going to, yeah, New Year's resolution, we're going to quit." And you'll make that New Year's resolution, and then when it gets to be January 2nd, and it gets to be January 10th, and when it gets to be January 17th and January 30th, and it'll start digging in its heels. And it'll start saying, "Well, it started. You know, it's so hard. It's so hard. I don't want to do this anymore." And then it's going to start digging in its heels. And it's at that point that you're going to have to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to keep going and keep deciding. See, this is what I love about the shepherds. Let us go and see. They didn't get halfway there and go, "Man, this is a really long walk. Ugh, so hard. It's not a very pretty night. What's happened to our sheep?" All those things, all those distractions. Let us go and see. They kept going. And they kept going, and they kept going, and they started searching. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think the angels told them, "You'll find him in the manger beside the innkeepers." Maybe there was only one manger in Bethlehem. Maybe this was easier than I'm thinking it is. But all the angel told them, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I need to eat my mail. And so I'm wondering, when they actually got to Bethlehem, maybe Bethlehem's not that big, so it's not that big of a deal. Just how much did they have to search? How much did they have to keep pushing? Keep working. Keep making the decision that we are going to go and see. If I know anything about the flesh, I can pretty much guarantee you that it was a push all the way through. But they did that. They went, they found the baby, just as the angel said, and they worshiped him. This coming year, I will guarantee you, if you will take the time to listen, what you will find, I'm backing into my garage. If you will take the time to listen, I will guarantee you that you will hear from the Spirit. And you will hear all sorts of wonderful things. You will hear little reminders. You will hear partnership from Him. You will hear love. Your life will become sensitive to this tremendous, ongoing, continual communication from God. That's cool enough. But you won't really experience life until you adopt the strategy. Let's go and see. When He gives you an idea, when He makes a suggestion, when He tells you, you know, you might want to try. If you don't focus in and tell yourself, no, I'm not just going to discard that. Let's go and see. You know, I don't know what in your life. I could come up with all sorts of examples of potential things that might be in your life that you want to see different. I'm not going to do that. You already know what's in your life that you would like to see different. Because all you have to do is pause and you know. And I will guarantee you that some of those things are going to be difficult and they're going to take time. And I will double guarantee you that your flesh does not want you doing those things. Because it knows how accomplishing those things will improve the quality of your life. So it would much rather have you dwell on mistakes and failures that you've had in your past. It would much rather have you plan for the future. You can get started on that tomorrow, as opposed to just saying to yourself, that's really something that would be great if I accomplished that goal. Let's go and see what that feels like to get there. So I would encourage you this year, I would encourage you every day of this year, every hour, every minute, and every moment of this year, when you hear from the Spirit, let your first response be, yeah, let's go and see. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home. Happy New Year.